2 weeks ago, I started a series of messages on the Bible. The first one was about the Bible being our nutrition as Christians. That's our food. That's what we feast upon, is the Word of God. And then last week, we talked about the Word of God being our shield, our buckler. You can use the Word of God completely around you. You can surround yourself by the Word of God. And when you do that, it protects you from this world that we live in. And this world that we live in right now, quite frankly, we're in the latter days. I believe that with all of my heart. When you look around and if you follow what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I believe we're in those days now. If you look around us and you see how our world is headed and you see where it's at right now, then we know that we need the Word of God. Can't say more now than we ever have. We've always needed it, but right now we've got to be able to pick up the Word of God as our sword. And we've got to be able to stand firm with that sword in our hand. Now, last week we talked a little bit about that shield and how they used to put oil on those shields before they went to battle. And when the sun would reflect off of those shields, it would blind the enemy when they would go to battle. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit. So if you would, please, I want to read two passages of Scripture in two different places. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 6. If you open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 17 there. And when you find your place there, if you would go up to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. And when you find your place, if you would please stand for the respect of the reading of God's Word. Ephesians 6, 17, and then we'll go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. We'll read Ephesians 6, 17 first. Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then back up in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that you would open our understanding to it, Lord, that you give us liberty as we look into the Word of God, and Father, give us boldness to speak what we need to speak in a way, Father, that will just touch the hearts of your people today, Lord. And Lord, as your word goes forth, you tell us clearly that it would not return void, but it would perform that which it is set forth to do. And so, Father, this morning, as we look into the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit, Lord, may we learn to use it as such in this world in which we live, where wickedness is all about us. Help us to be strong, to be firm as Christians in the Word of God. Guide us now, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 talks about the Word of God. It says, for the Word of God. The design of this and the following verse is obvious. It's very clear that it is to show that we cannot escape God's notice of mankind. When God looks at us through His Word, and believe it or not, the Word of God, it's alive, folks. It's living. It's not dead. It's wide awake. It never sleeps. It never slumbers. Just like our God in heaven, He never sleeps. He never closes His eyes. And He's always looking down upon us. Well, this Word of God is the same way. But so many times we lay this Bible aside and we don't pick it up all week long. We'll come to church Sunday morning and then we'll come to church Sunday night and Wednesday night. But we will not pick up the Word of God in between. Folks, this is your protection. The Word of God not only is our nutrition and where we get our strength to be able to do what we need to do, but it's also can be used as weapons in warfare. We're at war, believe it or not, as Christians. We are at war like we've never been at war before, spiritually. It's not against flesh and blood, as Ephesians tells us, but it's against principalities and powers of things that we cannot see. And you see, God sees all. Nothing is hid from God. And His Word is so sharp, and it's two-edged, and it's so strong that it is designed to open the mankind's eyes to sin. We should be able to see sin found through the Word of God as we study it, as we read the Word of God, as we hide it in our heart. We need to be able to through God's Word to detect sin when it comes our way. But that's what God does here. And the sense of our hearts are perfectly open before Him through the Word of God. We've got to learn to be sincere Christians. Be a sincere Christian. Don't be this kind of a Christian that lays your Bible down and never pick it up again all week long, because, folks, this is your sword. You don't go to battle without a sword. And you gotta know the Word of God to be able to use it as a sword. You don't take an unproven weapon that you don't know how to use into battle with somebody. Make sure you know the Word of God. Look into it for yourself. You know, the preacher can stand up here all day long and we can give you messages every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. But where you gotta be, you gotta practice the Word of God as a sword. You gotta be able to draw it out and be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil, because he's doing everything in his power right now to destroy every Christian on this earth. That's what he wants to do. You know, he thought he had it made when he saw Jesus crucified on the cross. But one thing he forgot about was it's the sword of the Spirit that's still with us, folks. And the Holy Spirit came down, and he's the one that teaches us how to use this sword of the Spirit. The idea here is that God, that what God had said is fitted to detect hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of those things, folks, that we've got to stand firm against. The Bible speaks against that kind of a thing. We can't live a life of hypocrisy. I can't get up here and preach to you all the Word of God and about God's Word being the sword of the Spirit and me not carry my Bible with me when I come to church. That'd be downright stupid on my part. But I don't want to be stupid. I want to do what God wants me to do. You know, and it points out sin, and it tells mankind that they're guilty before God. And the Word of God is that thing that opens and it cuts into the heart of mankind. The Bible says it's a two-edged sword. It's very sharp. And they, in the Roman times, what they would do with these swords that they had, they would put an edge on both sides of that sword. So when it went in to somebody in battle, they made sure that it split whichever way they twisted that sword. It cut deep and it was sharp. And that's the way we've got to be as Christians, because when we share the Word of God with somebody, they're going to get mad at you. Because you know what? The truth hurts. That old saying that says the truth hurts is true. It does. It digs deep into the heart of mankind. When you sit down with somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you look at them and you share with them Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." When you tell somebody that, they don't believe you. And they get mad at you. Because why? Because the truth hurts. They want to have something themselves that says, "I did this. I'm getting to heaven on my own." Just like when they tried to build the tower in Babel to get to heaven because they thought they would be able to do so, and God shut that down. People, I'm telling you, you cannot get to heaven without the Word of God. And that Word of God is the sword that we use to pierce the hearts of the unsaved person, and which brings conviction to that person. So whether we preach it or read it or communicate by conversation, or it's pressed in within our memory and the conscience by the Holy Spirit, there is no escape from the penetrating search of the Word of God when it's given to people. Even if it's given in a gospel tract. You want to make an enemy? Give them a gospel tract. They'll get mad at you if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They will, especially if they read one that tells them very clearly, you're a sinner, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn in an everlasting hell. People don't want to hear that. All they want to know is that there's a heaven, and I was good. I don't deserve hell. But that's not what the Bible teaches, folks. It teaches clearly that if you try to get to heaven without the Word of God and without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to burn in that place, an everlasting hell, a place called hell that is hot, that it burns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's no end to the burning of hell. And if we don't share that with people, folks, and somebody goes to hell that you have a relationship with, even if it's a friendship, whose blood will that be? Whose hands will that blood be required on? It'll be yours. Look at the book of Ezekiel. If you go back and read it sometime, Ezekiel, when God told Ezekiel, you go to the people and you tell them about their sins. And if you don't tell them about your sins, then their blood will I require at your hands. You know, the first time I had an opportunity to speak, I was up in Belpre, Ohio. I felt the Lord calling me to do something for him back then. I ended up being a missionary for a while. But at that time, I was asked to speak at one of the senior banquets at the Christian school where our boys attended. And the principal of school came to me and said, "Roy," he said, "would you mind speaking at our banquet?" I said, "I'd love to." And I did. That was my first time I ever spoke, ever. I think it was the first time ever for the Lord. But anyway, when I got there, we had a little dinner we had to go to, and they asked me to speak. And I spoke out of Ezekiel because the Lord laid very heavily on my heart that passage of Scripture. In Ezekiel, well, God told Ezekiel, you got to go to my people. You got to tell them about their sins. And if they turn from their sin, If you tell them and they turn, then I will save them. And they won't be annihilated from me. But he said, if you don't tell them, because you know it's the right thing to do, because God's telling you to do that. And God tells us to share the word of God with other people. But God told Ezekiel very clearly to share that with the people so they could hear about God and about his love and his kindness. But you see, people got this attitude that God is kind and he would never send anybody to hell. Well, I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's nothing but the lie of the devil. And that's what the world wants you to believe. And that's what they want to believe. But anyway, that night I spoke to those young kids. I was young myself. I was only 26, I think, at the time. Wasn't very old. But anyway, that was the first thing I spoke to them about. And I guess it made an impression on them, because one of the young men, I still have a book at home that he bought me before I went to the Philippines. And he wrote this big, long letter in there thanking me for that message, because it made him feel like God was calling him to do something for the Lord as well. Because, you know, you have to impress upon the mind of our young people that in order for them to have clean hands when they stand before God Almighty, they've got to share that word with other people that they come in contact with. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation, folks. Stand on the word of God. Use it as a sword. When the world stands up against you, draw your sword. Put up your shield of faith and draw your sword. But this Bible can be used as a shield. It can be used as a weapon. So it's bivocational. It works in many, many ways. So it can be used as a sword or as a shield. But I want you today to learn that you need to use it as a sword, because it's quick. And the Greek meaning there means, that word mean, quick means living. It is not dead, folks. The Word of God is alive. It's as alive as you're sitting in your seat right now. It's as alive as our everlasting Father who is in heaven right now, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven right now, the Holy Spirit who lives within me. He's eternal. This Word is eternal. It's forever settled in heaven, and it will never, ever, ever be stopped. Amen. Stand firm on it, folks. They've tried to destroy it for many years. Hitler tried to destroy it. He gathered every Bible that he could get his hands on, and he tried to burn them up. I heard a story here a while back. I think Miss Judy shared a story with me last week or week before about this lady who was mad at her husband, or husband mad at, I think it was the wife was mad at the husband because he got saved and he was carrying his Bible and stuff. So he went out of the house one day and she took the Bible and all of his stuff and put it in a pile and poured gas on it to burn up the Bible. And I guess a concordance or something else. I hope I'm telling the story right, Judy. But she shared this with me. And when she lit the fire on that thing, the woman got burned and the Bible and the concordance didn't get a flame on it. Tell me God's word's not alive. It's alive. It's living, folks. And God will protect it, plain and simple. And that this word was given to us as a sword and as a shield for us when we face difficult times in our life as Christians. It's the way that we reach the lost with the gospel is through the word of God. And if we don't share that gospel with somebody, their blood will be required at your hands. I got to go out of town one more time starting tomorrow. I got to leave early, early in the morning. This is my last trip, folks. I made it clear to these people because I told them, I said, I got one more trip and I'd already committed to this one way back when. And I got to go up into Cleveland, got to meet a guy in the morning at the airport in Cleveland at 11 o'clock in the morning. So I got to leave pretty early in the morning. It's about a 5.5-6 hour drive. I don't know how long it takes to get there. But I got to drive up there early in the morning, pick him up. And this is the guy I've been telling you I've been praying for. I've known the guy for 27 years. He's Jewish. He don't believe in God. The man has got to be saved. This will be my last opportunity to be with him, just the two of us. We're going to be traveling all over Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton. We're going to hit all those areas this week. So pray for me this week that the word of God would be sharp, that when I share it with him one more time, because he's in my truck and he ain't getting out because I'm locking the door when he gets in, and I'm not letting go of this man until he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. But I still have meetings with him. We have meetings once a week, a couple times a week, Microsoft Teams and stuff. But anyway, I want these people to see Christ in me through the Word of God. So pray this week that this man would be saved. He's got a daughter and a wife, and they need to be saved. They're Jewish people. He claims to be a Jew, but he doesn't believe in God. I said, how can you call yourself a Jew if you don't even want to believe that there's God Almighty in heaven? Don't tell me you're Jewish. At least the Jews, the Orthodox Jew, believe in God. But the Word of God tells us clearly that the Messiah has already come. He has come, and he was crucified, and he was laid in the grave, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And the word tells us all of this. This is a sword, folks, that we can pull every time the devil raises his ugly head and sin gets to be so rampant. We have a responsibility to draw this sword out of its sheath and stand before the devil with the word of God, because that's the only way you will ever be able to defeat the devil is through the word of God. Jesus himself, folks, Jesus himself, when he was tempted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, every time the devil threw something at him, what did he do? He quoted scripture to him. The scripture says, the word says, the man shall not live by bread alone. When he told him to turn the stone into bread. He don't have to do that. He said, God tells me clearly, my Father tells me that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what is that what's that bread he's talking about? The word of God is bread, folks. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. This word of God is our nutrition. It is our shield and it is our sword. It's everything that we need. Don't think for 1 minute that when Jesus went into heaven, he left us without nothing. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And folks, unless we're surrendering ourselves to our holy God in heaven through the teachings of the Word of God, we will be weak, weak Christians the rest of our life. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How? By reading the Word of God, hiding it in your heart that you may not sin against him. It's quick, it's living, and it's powerful, meaning it's mighty. Its power is seen in awakening the conscience of mankind. Because when you share the scripture with somebody, they get angry. It attacks their conscience because they know they're living in sin. But this world don't want to see anything like sin. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again until the day that I die by the grace of God. Sin is sin, and it's wrong to do. Don't do it. If the Bible says thou shalt not, that means don't do it. If it says thou shalt, that means do it. Follow the Bible. Do what it says. It's all powerful. It's almighty. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Literally, a two-mouthed sword is what it means. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, it says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master's assemblies. And that kind of compares to Isaiah 49:2, which says, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Folks, you want to be sharp for the Lord Jesus Christ? Learn the Word of God. You know, when we were kids in Sunday school, and I hope our kids are still doing this, you had memory verses. I know in Master's Club, they have these boys over there and the girls, they got to learn memory verses, and they got to quote those memory verses. But here's the key to this. You can memorize the Word of God all day long. You can go in and you can memorize verses all the time. But you know what? If you don't live by them, you're wasting your time memorizing them, because then it's just part of your mind. It's not part of your heart. So I hope and pray that what we're doing when we're having these children memorize, they're not just memorizing these verses, they're learning the verses. They're learning how to use the sword of the Spirit when the devil raises his ugly head, and letting them know that the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It even pierces in the dividing asunder. It penetrates and divides inside of the heart of a man between his soul and his spirit, and it draws him close to God. But if we can't use that it's almost like it's that sharp instrument that a doctor uses when he goes in and he goes to say to cut into somebody's bone and separate the bone from the marrow. They actually have instruments that will do that. They're so sharp that they'll cut through the bone, and it can go in and it can draw the marrow out. And that's what the Bible's talking about. That marrow is what keeps us alive a lot of times. It's what puts healing in our body. It works the same way, and it talks about soul and spirit, the human life. It's talking about the mortal part of our life. You know, there's a difference between our soul and spirit. I don't care what anybody says. You ask any person. I'm this one guy, the guy I'm telling you about that I'll be with this week. God bless him. I hope he gets saved. I can't say God bless him until he gets saved, but I hope God saves his soul this week. But when I tell him about God, he made it clear to me, I don't believe that there's a God. I said, so you believe that when you die, you just die and it's over? Yeah, it's just over. I said, how do you live like that? I said, there is life after death. When you die, you're going to stand before your Creator one day, and when you do, you're going to give an account for what you believed in. And I told him very clearly, I said, listen, I said, Jason, let me tell you something. I spent 2 hours with him in my truck, traveling from one place to the other. And I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, listen, Jason, I said, the last thing I want to see Because I don't want to see you stand before God Almighty one day, and he look at you and say, and he looks at me and he says, Roy there shared the gospel with you. You refused to accept it. And now I have no recourse but to cast you into an eternity in hell. Folks, that tears me up inside. If that doesn't tear you up, there's something wrong with you. Because, folks, this is where it all begins, sharing the gospel with people. But that gospel, and I've been praying ever since that last time I was with him. I prayed hard. I said, Lord, let this eat at his heart. Let it divide like a sharp sword in his heart, changing this man and drawing him closer to you and pull him into to the family of God to the point where it separates his soul and his spirit and his mind is just filled with what I told him. I hope he can't sleep at night. I told him, I said, I'm going to pray you can't sleep, Jason. I want the man to be saved. And folks, you know, the Bible's clear about that. We have a responsibility to be able to do that. But it goes on, and I just want to share some facts with you this morning about the Word of God as well. And it's got, the Word of God has got to be open, it's got to be used. But at the coronation of Henry VI, after various ceremonial swords were brought in at his coronation, they laid all these swords before him. This was King Edward VI. And he saw all these swords before him, and he looked around, and he looked at the men that brought him in, and he made a comment to him. This is what he said. He said, there's one sword yet lacking. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He said, bring it in. Bring in the Word of God. That was one of the kings of England at one time, Edward VI. He said, without that sword, we are nothing and we can do absolutely nothing. Folks, if our leaders in this nation and other nations would just take the Word of God and open it back up and make it part of our nation, put it back in the school systems where it belongs. Let our children learn at an early age about God Almighty, about the Creator. You want to talk about history? Open the Word of God. Go to the book of Genesis and just take it all the way through. That's a history book in itself, folks. We got to be able to get this Word out there somehow, some way. But that king made it very clear that there's a sword missing. We're lacking a sword here. And it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He said, without it, we can do absolutely nothing. We will never ever prosper as a nation without the Word of God. And you know what? Our nation has been going downhill ever since they took it out back in 1962 when they pulled that Bible out of the Word of God out of the schools, and they took the Bible out and they took prayer out of the schools. That's where it all fell apart. But anyway, this morning I want to challenge each one of us to know your sword, to know it, to trust it, and to use it. Three simple points I want to share with you this morning, because I want you to be able to do this. I want you to know your Bible. Know the sword of the Spirit. You can't use something unless you know how to use it, folks. You got to know. In order to learn how to use something, you got to know about it. We come to know the Bible how? By reading the Word of God. Not just listening to the preacher and turning on YouTube and listening to a bunch of crazy preachers out there. Sometimes that worries me about what our people listen to, because you don't know what they're listening to, because not every preacher on YouTube is telling you the truth, folks. There are certain ones that I could name up here that I'd wish you'd stay away from. But anyway, Charles Spurgeon was asked one time how a Christian could obtain a thorough knowledge of the Bible. He gave him three answers. He said, I'll give you three reasons, three ways that a person can get to have knowledge of the Bible, the Word of God. And this was his reply. There are three rules to follow in order to have a deep understanding of the Word of God. First, read your Bible. Second, read your Bible. Third, read your Bible. Three simple things. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Spurgeon was a wise man. Never had a bit of theological training whatsoever. And I know where he's coming from there. But God gave this man so much wisdom. I mean, what an answer. Tell us what it is that we can know more about the Word of God. Well, I'll give you three rules. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Three times. That's pretty simple. It's kind of like sin. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Say no, say no, say no. But anyway, the Bible does not need to be rewritten, folks. We've got it right here. We got the Bible right here. KJV, King James Version. That was the first translation into the English language. And folks, that's the one I stand on. That's the one our church stands on. And there's a reason behind that. Because these other things are just trying to change the Word of God. They're taking out a lot of the truth out of the Word of God. But the Bible does not need to be rewritten. All it needs to be done is reread and read and read and read. These people say, I just can't understand that old English. I don't see what's so hard about thou shalt not or thou shalt. That's pretty simple. God's word is it's self-explanatory. We just got to be able to pick it up. And if you don't understand something, get to know it. Read it over and over again. Asking the Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Give me what I need to hear from heaven. And so we come to know the Bible by memorizing portions of God's word as well. We teach our children to memorize those verses in Sunday school, like I said earlier. But they don't just need to memorize them. They need to understand them. That's where the teacher comes in and says, do you understand what you just quoted to me? And if they say, no, I don't. Well, then take a moment and explain it to them. Explain it to them so they'll understand it. But what happens to us as we get older? We don't memorize verses no more, do we? That's just something you had to do in Sunday school or at vacation Bible school or at church camp. You had to memorize verse. But as you get older, we don't learn verses no more. Shame on us as adults. We need to memorize the Word of God because God's Word's clear in Psalms 119:11. Now, word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. Against thee. God doesn't want to sin. The only way you're going to keep from sin, folks, is to hide God's word in your heart. And when that ugly sin pops up its head, that memory verse may come back to you and say, don't do that. That's wrong. Don't look at that. That's the wrong thing to look at. Don't go there. That's the wrong place to go. It's plain and simple. It's not hard to figure out. We come to know it by studying it as well. Why should we study it? Because it's history. You want to know true history? It's in the Word of God. God's word is the only truth that's left out there. It's prophecy and it's theology. When we come to know the sword of the Spirit, we will proclaim it as David did concerning the sword when he took Goliath's sword. After he killed Goliath and they picked up the sword, he took that sword and he cut off Goliath's head and he held up that head. And then later on, believe it or not, they gave him that sword later on. He said, give it to me. I'll take that sword. When he was on the run from Saul, he said, I'll take that sword. And he took that sword. Why did he take it? Because he said, that sword is sharp. It's strong. It's heavy. Well, we got to look at the Word of God the same way. It's strong. It's powerful. It's sharper than even than Goliath's sword. Folks, we got to stand on the Word of God. We got to get to know it by studying the Word of God. There's none like that. Give it to me is what's what David said. There's no sword like Goliath's sword. Give it to me. You know, when people talk about the Word of God, we ought to say, there's no sword like that Word of God. Give it to me. I want it. I want the Word of God. I want to be able to live according to the Word of God. But I need to have power in my life. And the only way you're going to have power in your life is because Paul tells us over in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. Unto who? Not to man. Unto God. You want to walk with your God? Then study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. So you got to know your Bible. You got to trust your Bible. Trust the Word of God. Folks, it does not lie. It's the only truth that's left in this world that we live in today. You turn on the fake news out there, and you know, we don't watch the news anymore. I quit watching it because every time I watch it, I get a little bit angry, or every time I watch something on the news. I don't need to know what's going on out there. The Bible tells me what's going on in the latter days. I already know what's going on. I live it every now and then, and it's not too hard to figure it out. But we got to trust the Word of God. We must trust our sword as being divine, the only sword that out there that you have that you can pick up in defense of the enemy and stand strong and firm. It is the sword of the Spirit, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who is living living through the Word of God. The written Word of God has two natures. It is the fusion of both the human and the divine elements. Jesus was all man. Jesus was all God. The Word of God teaches us that in the book of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Think about that. Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. From in the beginning, God created. The last amen of the book of Revelation is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the living Word of God Almighty. This is Jesus Christ in letter form, in word form, because he was the Word. Folks, we need to learn to trust our sword. We must trust our sword as being dependable. There's nothing more dependable than the Word of God. It will never, ever let you down. If you learn to draw the Word of God out like a sword, that two-edged sword that it is, that it claims to be, and what it claims to be is what it is, because you know what? God's Word is not only, God is self-sufficient. He's the only self-sufficient being in anywhere. His word is also self-sufficient. It is all self-sufficient. We've got to learn to trust it and depend on God's word. We must trust our sword as being durable. Folks, there's nothing more durable than the Word of God. You want an answer for something? Ask God to show it to you in the Word of God. If you don't have a concordance, get one. You can get them free online. Just go online, type in Bible concordance, and you can open one up right there online and just type in a word if you're trying to find something. You want to just sometimes just open up a concordance and look the word grace up and see how many verses there are on God's grace. Folks, it's full of it. We've got to be able to trust it because it's durable. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. It will endure. It is not a book of the month or the book of, it is the book of the ages, and it's always been, it always shall be. It will never, ever, ever, ever go away. And the last thing I want to share with you is use your Bible. Number three, use your Bible. Learn to use it. When we're tempted, pick up the Bible. When temptation raises its ugly head, in the Gospels we have the account of the temptation of Christ by the enemy when he tried to destroy him. At every point, Jesus quoted the Word of God, and finally the enemy would just up and leave. He'd just walk away for a while. You know, I've heard people get up and say, you know, I ran the devil off the other day. Well, what'd you do? I just told him, devil, get out of here. He ain't gonna leave you. He ain't going nowhere. But if you start quoting the Word of God to him and you use it as a sword, he will flee from you and he will stay away from you as long as you know the Word of God and you know how to pick it up and you know how to use that sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we're tempted, use the Bible. Use it in your witnessing. People need to hear God's Word to be saved. And it says clearly in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Nobody's ever going to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without the Word of God. Know the Word of God enough to be able to share some scriptures with them. We still got a few tracks back here in the track rack. It's getting empty, praise God. Glad to see that. And now we got these John and Romans that I'm going to take some with me up to Cleveland and Cincinnati. I got some of them ready to go. I'm going to load my truck up with them. I'm going to give them to all these guys up there in Cincinnati. So we're going to have something. We're going to have a gift from Abundant Life Baptist Church, a church that claims to know him and to want to make him known to a world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to get it up in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton, Ohio. I'm taking it up there with me, folks. I've got some ready to go. So use your Bible when you're tempted. Use your Bible when you're witnessing. And it must be a part of our life. Use it in every part of your life as much as you can. In 2 Samuel 23:10, it tells us of the victory of Eliezer that he experienced. He says, and his hand clave unto the sword of the Lord, wrought a great victory that day. Folks, you want victory in your life? Start it with the Word of God. You want victory when you go to bed at night? End the day with the Word of God. Pick it up. I'm not telling you to read it from Genesis to Revelation. The worst thing you can do when you read the Bible is read it just to read it. Read it and take your time as you're reading it. I don't care if you read one verse and read that one verse all day, every moment of the day. Quote it to yourself throughout the day. Like I told you, my son that one time, when we had that big thunderstorm, we lived in Parkersburg, and my son was just having an awful time. He's only, I don't know, two, three, five years old. And boy, it thundered and lightning really bad that night. And I told my wife, I said, I better go check on the boys. They were both in their little bedroom off in the back of the house. I said, I'm going to go check on them. And before I even got to the door, I just heard, what time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. What time I'm afraid. He quoted that verse I don't know how many times. I just opened the door and said, y'all okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine, Dad. What time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. He quoted it. He learned it in Sunday school and he kept quoting it. But now I pray he just keeps on quoting it. But anyway, the sword of the Spirit, God's Word, folks, we've got to know it, we've got to trust it, and we've got to use it, those three things. If you don't know it, if you don't trust it, and you don't use it, check your heart, and make sure, you know, that you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart. It's our only weapon as we stand in the face of the enemy when we struggle every day of our life. We've got to be able to pick up that Word of God. No matter what you're struggling with, pick up the Word of God. Lay something else down once in a while. Pick up God's Word. And you know what? Life's not going to get any easier because of that. But it sure will draw you closer to the Lord because this is God's Word. And God's Word is truth. And God's Word cuts and it hurts. And it penetrates to the heart of mankind. And when you start sharing them the Word of God and it digs deep into someone's heart and soul, well, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. I'm not going to apologize when God's Word offends somebody. Amen, I won't do that. Now, if I offend you because something stupid I said, I'll say, I'm sorry I said that. But when God's word says it, I'm not going to stand up here and say, I'm sorry I said that, because God's word is God's word. And as long as I'm preaching God's word, I'm not going to apologize for it. I won't do that by God's grace. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of that, I think it was the Columbine shootings, when they had that movie or book about that one little girl there, when that boy held that gun to her head and he told her, he said, deny God. And she said, I won't do it. And he shot her. Shot her in the head. Because she believed in God, because she accepted Jesus Christ, he shot her. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. It started a long time ago. We're not done yet. So I'll tell you, the only weapon you've got against the devil is right here. Pick up your Bible. Know your Bible. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if one of these days they don't come knocking on the door. They're saying they're going to take our guns. Good luck with that. They say they're going to take all of our weapons. I ain't giving them up either. But even more so, I'm not giving up this word of God. I'm not going to give it up. By God's grace, I will not give it up. But his grace is sufficient. It's always sufficient. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, help us to hold fast to your word, Father. Help us to know it, to use it, to apply it to our life and every area of our life, Lord. Not just bits and pieces of it, Father, but the whole thing. The whole Bible is truth from in the beginning to the last amen in Revelation. Father, help us to be a church that stands firm on the word of God, who wants to know Jesus more and who wants to make him known in our community and not just our community, but Father, throughout the world. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses of God's word, and to know that this sword of the Spirit is strong and it penetrates into the heart of mankind, and it also reveals sin, as it tells us clearly that there is a God in heaven, and without this word, this world can never know him. Father, we pray that we will always do our part to never let it be stamped out in the areas in which we live. Continue to work in our hearts, Father, as we give the invitation this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.